Well, firstly, I want to tell you I'm delighted to be back with you. The last time I was here was Easter last year. And thank you for sharing your beloved minister with my congregation. That's where he is now. We did a pulpit swap. It's an incredible gift to have a wonderful and talented colleague like Dave. So I'm very, very happy to be here this morning. It's not about what you love, but how you love, Wheaton writes. We have been called the religion of nerds, and I don't know about you, but I'm pretty pumped about this. We UUs love so many things passionately. The environment, animals, justice, peace, human rights, wearing hiking clothes year-round, curiosity, debating Robert's rules, and do we love committees? By Will Wheaton's definition, this makes us nerds. And if being a nerd means loving something fervently, then I suggest that we as a faith community wholeheartedly embrace this title, because if it's the worst thing they can say us about us, I think we're doing a pretty dang good job. Hopefully our faith and our congregation play a role in cultivating our spirit and forming our values. But they are not the only source of wisdom in our lives. Our other passions play a role in forming our morality, our outlook, even our behavior and how we see ourselves. And pop culture's influence on our lives cannot be overstated. Knowing someone's love for a certain film or book or TV series can be like peeking in through a window into your most fervently held beliefs. Do you remember the first bit of pop culture you fell in love with? Maybe it was the Beatles, or Jaws, the Brady Bunch, or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Do you remember how you felt after hearing it or seeing it for the first time? How it changed you, pulling things into or out of focus? Maybe not immediately, but over time. Joss Whedon's, not to be confused with Will Wheaton, television series Buffy the Vampire Slayer debuted when I was 14 years old. It was cheesy beyond belief, with the type of low-budget fight scenes with big bad monsters that make you laugh more than cower. And as silly as a show might seem about a teenage girl and her friends fighting vampires, Whedon's series was so impactful, it was named the number one pop culture property studied by academics as recently as 2012. Yes, there are actual, real-life university professors dedicated to the study and teaching of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And while my 14-year-old self wasn't exactly tuning in each week to study vampire theology or Slayer gender dynamics in Buffy, I was, in the midst of the undead love affairs and general teenaged angst, taking in, whether consciously or unconsciously, the important lessons that Buffy had to share with me. I now understand how groundbreaking this seemingly juvenile show was. Those cheesy monsters were metaphors for society's ills. But beyond that, the show broke new ground in highlighting the very real power and ability of women in leadership roles. It acknowledged and sought to fight against the systems of oppression present for historically marginalized populations. It was the first show to have an actualized lesbian relationship without fetishizing it. And it validated atheism, agnosticism, and Wicca by placing it right alongside the more mainstream belief systems. It did all of this far before it was commonplace or even acceptable to do so, while never once speaking down to the audience of mostly teenage girls. The world responded, and I responded, because it was empowering to see this main character, a young woman, unapologetically strong and imperfect, struggle to change the world each day in the face of great indifference. I realize now just how impactful this show was to my formation, even to my calling as a minister, as I learned to value Buffy's search for justice, her tremendous love and sacrifice for the world, and her constant questioning of societal norms. I see how the cultivation of these qualities played into my discovery and attachment to Unitarian Universalism only a few years later, as I saw those same qualities mirrored in our UU, my first UU church, a thrill to see a room full of folks interested in the same thing that I was. See, once you've established your personal brand of nerdiness, finding someone else who claims that same brand creates an instant connection. When I come across another fan, I get energized, excited that, yes, this person understands how wrong the whole sixth season was. Or when I encounter a UU in the wild and my guard immediately drops, it's like, yes, I am among one of my people. This is what it means to be a part of a fandom. Fandom being fan plus kingdom, a kingdom of fans. It means being a part of a group of people excited about the same thing, being surrounded by people with whom you needn't explain yourself, where you share common language and feel accepted for who you are no matter how deep your nerdiness runs. There are fandoms for everything you can imagine. I should know since, as an excitable human being, I am in many. Thank goodness I am in good company, though, because I look around this room and I see many nerds. By the way, you are a champion for showing up today, okay? Not all heroes wear capes, sometimes they wear overalls. Not only are there people who are downright obsessed with Doctor Who, but Star Wars, model trains, collectible horses, Disney movies, and Harry Potter. And if all these weren't cool enough, I also see a room full of nerds that love Unitarian Universalism, that cry when they sing Blue Boat Home, whose hearts pitter-patter at the sight of a lit chalice, or who know the story of the first flower ceremony like the back of their hand. You nerds that believe that everyone else would probably really love our faith if they just came to one service, that think that, okay, maybe that wasn't the best service for you to come to the first time, but if you come to the next service, I promise. Nerds that if they were to go to a UU retreat or the UUA's General Assembly, like perhaps some of you might this summer, you would feel energized and excited to be around your people too. Congratulations, you are a part of a UU fandom. As you might have assessed, being a nerd is about being truly passionate about something that perhaps most of the world doesn't really know of or particularly care about. Angelus, the dreamy brooding vampire from Buffy, once said, "Passion lies in all of us. It speaks to us, guides us. It is the source of our finest moments, the joy of love, the clarity of hatred, and the ecstasy of grief. It hurts sometimes more than we can bear. If we could live without passion, maybe we'd truly know some kind of peace, but we would all be hollow, empty rooms, shuttered and dank. Without passion, we'd be truly dead." Yes, totally over the top dramatic, but still true. And I am passionate about being a Unitarian Universalist nerd. Passionate about what it means, what is possible with it. Passionate about how it asks us to be the very best versions of ourselves. And when we are passionate about something, we naturally spend more time and energy on it. I mean, look at me, I'm a minister. Being a nerd is about investing time and energy into something without expecting a tangible reward other than the satisfaction you find in doing it. Loving Star Trek will likely not make us rich. I mean, maybe you have some figurines squirreled away somewhere. But I'm not going to say, for the vast majority of us, it's unlikely to put food on our table or pay our rent, but we love it anyways. In an article I read on the subject recently, the author says, "Isn't that how we are with religion? We admit that we cannot know with certainty what the payoff is. We don't know any practical reason to study liberal theology or religion and build communities around it, other than the love of the communities themselves and the emotional satisfaction of feeling like we stand for something beautiful and important. Liberal religion doesn't tangibly build farms or dig wells, but it gives us hope and vision for the kind of future we'd like to live in. Those are vital things when you are doing the practical and necessary tasks with measurable outcomes. I'm sure that the people who champion the way of the Jedi or the mission of Starfleet feel much the same way. For many of us, we are good to one another for the sake of being good. Not because it is commanded of us, or because we feel threatened with the notion of hell, a concept Unitarian Universalists wholly deny. Of course, not all good we can do can be said to be truly altruistic. We understand that in some way to do good to others in this world is to do good for ourselves and those that we love. Just like nerds who love to build model, tiny model towns, including even the most minute detail, our UU fandom gives us a structure in which to see change, do change, and believe in change. So it is within this structure that we plant seeds of goodness, never knowing if it will come to fruition, but surviving on the joy of the action of love and hoping it will be enough, that it will nurture our spirits enough. And like the best sci-fi nerds, we are dreamers. Understanding the world that is, but imagining the world that will be, the world we should work towards, just, compassionate, peaceful, and healthy. Imagining together is powerful. Imagining always comes before doing. We cannot dig the wells or build the farms without dreaming about why and how. And I've always found that imagining with others increases the excitement and creates accountability, making follow-through more likely. So creating UU fandoms, a kingdom of liberal religious fans, glorious in their UU nerddom, allows us to dream together of a more just, loving, and fair world, and helps us with the follow-through of creating it. So as far as I can see in our commitment to this UU faith, though we may receive nothing from it but the joy of being in a fandom, is an investment in the future of this faith, and then the future of this world. It's not about what you love, but how you love it, Wheaton writes. Just as one fandom does not require you to reject all other fandoms before joining theirs, we are a part of a faith that does not ask you to choose between your love for these pop culture properties and your faith community. When I was 16, my lifelong friend was instructed by her church to break each of her secular CDs. This is before iPods. To burn her worldly goods and to clear out those friends and family members of hers who were not her particular brand of religion. For her pastor, this was tactical. Offensive move in spiritual warfare, security for her soul. To have anything in her life that brought her happiness that was not directly related to the church was unacceptable. I feel confident that each one of us, if we thought hard enough, can think of someone like this, perhaps a friend or a family member who seems to live in a bubble of their own creation, too frightened of the tisk of their pastor's or family's tongue to enjoy a new experience. Thankfully, because Unitarian Universalism is non-creedal, we do not require you to adhere to a specific set of beliefs and kick you out should your belief ever change. I like to say that that's job security. We do not require you to break your ties with the world. In fact, we rather hope that your beliefs will grow and change and evolve through intentional exposure to new ideas. And so these outside influences do not intimidate Unitarian Universalists. Of course, there are influences that are not as beneficial to your spiritual or emotional growth as others, but you'll never hear of a UU book burning or a call to throw your music away. In fact, I'd say that's our equivalent to blasphemy. You'll never hear a forced estrangement from loved ones. Hopefully, our faith is free from shaming people for having various interests outside of the church. We don't look at the witchcraft in Harry Potter and avert our children's eyes. Our intentional cultivation of curiosity leads us to recent research from 2015 that states there is a direct link between children reading Harry Potter and displaying empathy towards people from disadvantaged groups. There are courses being taught on Harry Potter as a sacred text, even a wildly popular podcast of the same title. Yes. In fact, the UU Fellowship of Athens has a summer camp each year dedicated to Unitarian Universalism and Harry Potter. It celebrates the quest for goodness, and love found in this series. The diversity, the feminist message, and courage to take up what for what you believe in, even if it means facing death. These are powerful lessons for little and big people that take advantage of the Harry Potter fandom and in turn creates a UU Harry Potter fandom. It lifts up what is good and worthy without asking you to step away from the world and insulate yourself. No, we say you can be a nerd for many things, not just your church. You can find inspiration all over, and pop culture is ripe for integrating nerdiness with Unitarian Universalism. Inspiration for living out your values must come from outside influences, influences that excite and open up new ways of understanding. And if I may say so, we specialize in artfully melding the sacred and the secular. Luckily, there are many shows out there with themes that mirror our own faith's values. Take Doctor Who, the time-traveling do-gooder, for instance. Each incarnation of the Doctor has mostly described themselves as an atheist or agnostic, but share their growth or their open-mindedness to changing their position. But regardless of each Doctor's position on faith, he's always seeking out justice for all living things, human or otherwise, throughout the space-time continuum, proving that our faith systems only serve to support our morality rather than morality stemming from our faith. With such a caring heart, any of the Doctors would easily be sitting on the Faith in Action Committee should they attend this church. And take The Walking Dead. Listen, I know zombies and gores might not immediately scream Unitarian Universalism, but the zombies are secondary. The heart of the show is the ultimate question of what it means to be human. This is my yes person over here. Is it merely to survive? And what cost does this form of living have on your soul? And what does it mean to be in community? Do you form community merely to ensure your own safety? Or because humans need connection and to give and receive love? Or both? Surely the writers would make fabulous worship associates here. Even Downton Abbey is full of Unitarian Universalist values, as it addresses social justice issues like classism, sexism, and the sexual double standard. The list goes on and on. Star Wars and Breaking Bad are ripe with opportunities for deconstruction and spiritual challenges. With technology what it is, there's never been a better time to be a nerd. But nerds still struggle with an image problem. And one could argue so do Unitarian Universalists. When you hear the word nerd, what do you think of? Depending on your age, you may think of Urkel, Screech, or any number of stereotypical nerds in the media. And while there's nothing wrong with Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory, his personality is less than ideal for cultivating relationships. I mean, he's socially awkward, a know-it-all, a terrible dresser, and more than a bit of an elitist. This is pretty typical nerd stereotype here. But in reality, nerds come in all shapes and sizes, all colors and gender identities. They are gay, straight, bisexual, asexual. They are wealthy, and they are living paycheck to paycheck. They are in various stages of success and friendships, and as we have discovered here, their interests are incredibly varied, just like Unitarian Universalists. So what do people outside our faith imagine when they think of UUs? I marched in Pride in downtown Atlanta for the first time in 2015, and the large group of UUs I was with received the warmest reception from those participants along the parade route. There were high fives, air kisses, hugs, and hoots. The LGBTQ+ community knows who we are because of our hard work and persistence in pushing for equality. But I had to laugh as I overheard someone say in a friendly tone, "Here come those crazy Unitarians." I thought, yes, crazy we are, crazy free, crazy welcoming, crazy passionate. For some, our faith can be difficult to grasp. To quote an article on the subject, we are seen by the religious as spending our earthly lives not preparing for eternity, and by many of the non-religious as dabbling in traditions that we are unwilling to grasp fully. Of course, we know that neither of these is true, though they both touch on some important truths. We don't worry about eternity, it's true, because we all accept that whatever lies at the end of this universe, we'll all be there together. Once we know that, there isn't any need to fight about the details, and we can focus on living well. And agnosticism, as practiced by many Unitarian Universalists, is a conscious choice to stay open to new information and discernment. We do not simply fail to commit, but instead choose to stay open-minded. Wheaton says that he is a nerd for loving things that are a little weird and perhaps take time and effort to understand. Our faith is worth the effort to understand. It may seem weird that we have Buddhists sitting next to Christians, sitting next to atheists during service. It may seem weird that we believe that we can change this world into a more loving and just place. And we may all be a big bunch of nerds because we love our community and we love what we stand for so much. But I say we should own that title proudly. And the next time someone insinuates we are the religion of the nerds, throw them the Vulcan and let your nerd flag fly high. May it be so.